75,000.
Thank you. A member will recall that we received a briefing from the Department of Justice on the FAIA amendment bill, I think that was on the 6th of November. Following that, we took the bill out for public comment, and it was put on electronic platforms from the 8th to the 22nd of November. And in terms of the submissions we received, there were 7. From various organizations, amongst those Amabungani, the Banking Association of South Africa, the Center for Applied Legal Studies, SASIS, the Anthony Foundation, My Vote Count, and then there was an individual submission from a gentleman by the name of John Hickman. Our members, today we'll be dealing with the department's responses to the submissions, and then after we get those responses, we then engage with the department. I'm going to hand over to Mr. Dupreer to take us through the responses.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I should just mention to you that since we issued a committee book, we have been parliamentary advisor as well. So, strictly speaking, it's not the department's responses, of course, we prepared this for consultation with the parliamentary.
My apologies for that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I understand that members do have a copy of our summary. And this is always the tedious task of working through these and providing the responses. So I would appreciate your indulgence at times. It may take a while. The first relates to the definition of aid, and the Banking Association of South Africa recommended that the or between subparagraphs Roman 1 and 2 should be replaced with and. Now that is a technical proposal, Madam Chair, and with the stick is not correct. Those paragraphs should be disjunctively and not conjunctively. The Helen Suchman Foundation, with regard to the definition of aid, recommended that a better alignment with the Political Party Funding Act should be achieved by using the term accounting officer as it used in the Political Party Funding Act. However, we do not agree with that because we need to follow the formula of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. The Access to Information Act not only draws a distinction between public and private bodies, it also draws a distinction between information officers, which are usually the heads of public bodies, and then the heads of private bodies. But provision is made for the leader of the political party who is then defined as head to designate a person to comply with Section 52A of the FAIA Act. And since our argument is since the Political Party Funding Act refers to an accounting officer and imposes various obligations on the accounting officer, we are of the view that it's more than likely that the head of the political party will then designate the accounting officer to do the compliance with the purpose of Access to Information Act and then, of course, the political party funding act. Then, with regard to the definition of private body, the Banking Association of South Africa is concerned that the political party is included in the definition of a private body, and it seems to suggest that the political party is not a public body, which is not entirely correct, and that is only a private body. Now, the argument, or the counter-argument, Madam Chair, is that first of all, we must recognize that the FAIA draws the right line of distinction between public bodies and private bodies, and it defines a public body, and at the bottom of page 1 then, we quoted the definition of the public body council. So our response is quite a clear and unambiguous distinction is drawn between public and private bodies, and it is admitted that the political party that includes independent candidates should be defined as a private body. I might also mention, because the Alan Susan Foundation actually arrived at the same point, and we should recognize that the Constitutional Court accepted that there are political parties that are juristic persons, and in other words, already subject to the ambit of Bahia as private bodies, as defined. So it will not make sense at this stage to take them out under private bodies and be inserted under public bodies. Then when we get to the proposed new section 52A, the Ellen Susan Foundation proposed that the amendment must create a positive duty on accounting officers to report that reserve all information which relates to private funding of political parties. Now, Madam Chair, I may mention that some of the commentators followed the same line of argument or expressed the same concern or similar concerns. The major or the most important aspect to remember is that Section 12.2 of the Political Party Funding Act requires that the accounting officer of a political party must account for all income received by the political party. So those records exist, or they must exist. The Center for Applied Legal Studies is of the view that there should be an additional requirement for all parties to make available on their websites or other forms of publication the names of their donors and the funds that such donors have contributed. That is provided for in our proposed amendment, Madam Chair. And I may also mention that the regulations under Section 52A will then prescribe how those records must be made available, and whether it should be on websites or not is certainly an aspect that will be considered when those regulations are drafted. Then an individual, Mr. J.B. Hickman, proposed that the new section should be amended to ensure that any person or entity that makes multiple donations during 1 year is included under the provision. We are of an view that our provision that we have prepared or proposed is wide enough to include multiple donations that in the aggregate exceeds the prescribed threshold. The subject argues that in order to avoid the glare of public transparency and accountability, entities will donate amounts less than 100,000. Now, the response thereto, and it's actually a similar concern raised by Mr. Eaton there, is the intention is to align the proposed new section of Bahia to the Political Party Funding Act. The threshold is determined in terms of the Political Party Funding Act. And Section 12 of the Political Party Funding Act requires that accounting officers of political parties must account for all income received by the political party concerned. The Centre for Applied Legal Studies is also opposed to the 100,000 rand threshold, and once again, we argue that that threshold has been determined in terms of the processes that were provided for and deliberations, of course, that were done when the ad hoc committee considered the Political Party Funding Act. Then Amabungane, they argue that the duty to keep records only about the prescribed disclosure threshold creates loopholes with regard to the proper operation of the disclosure requirements. And then once again, the response to the indicates that records will be kept of all income as provided for or as required in terms of Section 12. Strictly speaking, or technically speaking, it's not necessary to repeat an obligation which is in terms of one piece of legislation to include it in the second piece of legislation because it is an unnecessary duplication. The Amabungani is also concerned that independent candidates are not subject to political party funding. Now, Madam Chair, the question of independent candidates is a rather difficult one and will be difficult to regulate in the rest of the world. And in any event, this question whether a duty to report all income will be practically implementable, because independent candidates, unlike the majority of political parties in most instances, contest provincial and municipal elections, and then if they are not elected, they simply disappear from the scene, so they do not have a political presence as a political party stands. My vote counts. They argue that the head of the political party is limited to creating, keeping, and disclosing records about the political party funding and describe. That's the result. We do not agree with that. Once again, we refer to Section 12.2, which is clear, which indicates that the accounting officer must keep records of all income received by the political party funding. And then they also argue that the political party funding does not apply to independent candidates. Now, once again, Amabungani also raised that, and the response is that it is difficult to regulate for them in that regard. But the obligation for them to create records will now, of course, be in terms of Section 52A. It might be, Madam Chair, that in future the Electoral Act might be amended to make provision for independent candidates on a national level. And if that is indeed so, the Electoral Party Funding Act will also accordingly be amended. So then it wouldn't be necessary for Parliament to amend the proposed new Section 52A because the law will then automatically take us for that. My vote counts also indicated that time frames need to be included on when a private funding contribution, including a donation, must be recorded after it is allocated to a political party or independent candidate. Our argument is, Madam Chair, that it is not necessary to legislate for standard bookkeeping rules. In terms of your standard bookkeeping rules, you are supposed as an accounting officer to record income as soon as possible. They also argue that the unavailability of electronic records, particularly for poorer and rural population, hard copy availability of records should be obligatory. And in the case of independent candidates or small political parties who may not have websites, hard copy records of the funding is necessary. Those are issues that we will have to grapple with, when we prepare the draft regulations under Section 52A. And those are the issues that we will have to take into consideration to ensure that the regulations provide for these concerns. Fortunately, we will have the input of organizations and also organizations like My Vote Count will be able to provide us with the necessary comments on our draft regulations. And then finally, let's say, the risk in preserving records after 5 years is that the ability to hold parties accountable and potentially uncover corruption through the bill is temporary. We would like to explain, Madam Chair, that the period of 5 years spans one administration and you can maybe just leave the word department there. Apologies for that. We are of the view that the period is sufficiently long enough to avoid overburdening political parties administratively. The obligation to create records of all the nations above the prescribed threshold and make them available. Our parties will be able to withdraw all the records after they have been made available. One third electronically available in the series, for example, that we published on my website. Party downloaded information from my website. I take it away from my website. It's not to say that I've been able to take that information or delete it from the electronic I said, will you please let me speak now? She said, oh, yeah, I'll support her. with regard to the interaction between the proposed new section 52A and the political party funding and the constitutional strength of the Electoral Act as well. And maybe just to conclude by indicating that the manner in which the records will be made available will be prescribed precisely for those reasons that have been aired by interested parties that I apologize. So yes, Chair, that is and that is why clause 4 then makes it easier for the act to be proclaimed by the president once we are ready to implement the act itself. And that's it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I still think it's that my family don't have any more questions. Honourable members, if you can maybe interact with the presentation based on some comments that we received on the phone. If I can get an indication of any members that would want to raise any questions of clarity or make any additions. So I think that we're happy in terms of the responses in relation to the stakeholders or the comments. Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members, and thank you, Ms. Victoria and Maurice Callender, for your joint presentation. Honourable Members, I think that we can go on to the next agenda item. Initially, we had planned to meet on Friday to consider the adoption of the report in relation to the ball. There was an indication by members that majority of them will not be available on Friday. So we then, there was a request that perhaps we should try and also look into trying to adopt the report today based on the outcomes of our discussion and engagement on this presentation. So our members, we took the liberty of also sending you a draft report in terms of the criteria amendment. In other than, and based on agreement from members, we think that we want to do the doctors there without any amendment. The draft report, it should be within your pack. And in essence, it's giving the background, public participation process. The submissions are attached to the document, and the summary is provided in the report itself. This session of this meeting, or this session, is attached in terms of support. And in terms of our recommendation, a proposed amendment, we are in agreement that we propose no further amendments to the law. I think we will be officially get consensus on the law if we can give me an indication in terms of support. Their support for the law. Okay. Let me see if any objections or any abstentions. None whatsoever. Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members, and I think that this report can be adopted. Okay, but also I think just to formalize it, if I can also get a mover and a seconder. Honourable Korea, Honourable Ross, the Doe. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think we're done with this agenda item. I think Mr. Victoria and my family, you're welcome to continue remaining our meeting, but we are going on to our next agenda item. Thank you for
Madam Chair, I'm in the process of introducing you all So we will come to you. And so we're trying our utmost to do as much work as possible, but if you will excuse us, thank you very much.
Our members, we're going on to the issue in relation to the NPA matter with regard to the restoration of Advocate Jiva and Mokoyi. In terms of our meeting yesterday, we deliberated on the matter, and we agreed that in today's meeting we will then deal with the actual report. The report was sent to honorable members yesterday. I'm hoping you had at least some opportunity to go through the report. But I think we can also briefly go through it now before we then deal with the introduction. So honorable members, in terms of the introduction that we discussed back on the report, and as well as speak to the documentation that we received from the president in relation to this matter. He further goes into relevant sections of the laws and powers and in terms of point 3 of the report, we're looking at the overview of the removal process, starting with the establishment of the inquiry, their terms of reference, findings and recommendations of that. The inquiry that was set up by the president, and then we go then to the president's decision on the matter, and I think the decision is outlined quite extensively in the report. We further then move on to the process that the committee involved on to deal with this matter. I don't have to go point by point, I mean, all members will inform that. We initially started as a joint here with the committee. Thereafter we went on our own, and in between the process there were other litigation issues that kind of delayed some of our processes. But be that as it may, in the last meeting, I think we reached a certain level in terms of getting to the court. The report then further goes into I think in terms of the process, if we also look at 4.1, 4.15, it also speaks to the letter we received from Pastor informing the Timothy, or expressing to the Timothy that she wishes not for the committee to continue on the restoration, but she wishes to go on with her life, etc. But then in terms of advocate Mokoyi, we did receive representation of the important report that she goes into that information. And then the final section, but then it goes into our deliberations. The issue is looking at our mandate and the tendency that we went through yesterday, as well as the guidelines which provided to the meeting in terms of those 300 people to which to consider. The discussion under those concepts are outlined in the report. And then if you go on to the findings, we think that in the speech of the committee, the final will be able to ensure that the office of the deputy of in terms of our feedback area, in the president and finance commission of session charges, A and E of the photograph president is in reaching the position of the chair and the president of the matter. And similarly, with regard to advocates for Wendy, we also say that we find no reason to report advocates to the office of the commission. And then in terms of our recommendations, we recommend that the NPOT resolve not to control and put on forward the office of the national director of the commission. Thank you very much, and hope to see you.